touchdown. Welcome to the sunniest capital city in Australia.
Perth.
It's where I live. This is How Far Will You Travel Australia, episode 6. And I'm Grant Stevens, your guide to all things Aussie. Perth is more than just beaches and sunny skies. It's a mix of bustling city vibes, rich history and natural beauty on the edge of the Indian Ocean. We're here thanks to our friends at Qantas, who've flown us into the land of endless summer with warm Aussie hospitality. We've already hit up iconic destinations like Sydney, Cairns and Alice Springs. We've dived into the Great Barrier Reef, trekked through rainforests and explored ancient caves. But today, we're immersing ourselves into Perth's laid-back coastal lifestyle, hitting the city highlights and venturing out for not one but two day trips that'll knock your cotton socks off. Lycra socks will probably stay on because they're so stretchy. Grab your sunscreen, let's go exploring! The fastest way to get into the Perth CBD from their airport, and you will almost certainly be flying into Perth, is the Airport Line train. It takes just 18 minutes for the train to get to Perth Station in the heart of the city. So let's use two of those minutes to consider some interesting facts about Perth. Firstly, Perth holds the dubious honour of being the most isolated capital city in the world. It's closer to Jakarta than it is to Canberra, and the nearest city to it with over a million people is Adelaide, which is more than 2,100 kilometres away. Perth gets over 3,200 hours of sunshine a year, which is an almost useless number. However, that translates to between 250 to 300 days of sunshine a year, which is fantastic. The fact that Perth has almost 20 beaches along its metropolitan coastline means that Perth is a money spinner for suntan lotion manufacturers. As soon as you hit the CBD, you'll feel Perth's unique mix of modern energy and laid-back charm. With the Swan River winding through the city and Kings Park greenery close by, Perth combines city life with nature, and it's astoundingly clean. We're starting our day with a stroll through Kings Park and Botanic Garden, one of the world's largest urban parks, bigger even than that little spot of turf they call Central Park in New York. With views that stretch over the city skyline and Swan River, it's the perfect place for a morning walk. And here's the best part. You're surrounded by Western Australia's iconic flora all in one spot. The baobab trees, the native wildflowers, they're the stars of the show. There are lawns, trails and lookouts everywhere, as well as a wonderful elevated walkway with great views of the city. It's the 10-time winner of the International Worst Tourist Attraction Name Award, if there was such a thing. It's called the Lottery West Federation Walkway. Yeah, really. But from that walkway and many other parts of Kings Park, the views are just unbelievable. From here, we can see not just the meandering Swan River, but the Indian Ocean beyond, making it one of the most picturesque city views in Australia. Rising from the banks of the Swan River, Perth's skyline features sleek, glass-clad skyscrapers that reflect the brilliant blue of the sky by day and transform into a shimmering display of lights by night. What makes Perth's skyline unique, though, is how it's surrounded by wide expanses of green. The park we're standing in frames the city with lush vegetation, providing a stunning contrast to the urban structures. After soaking in the views, we're heading to Elizabeth Quay, a vibrant modern waterfront precinct that brings Perth's urban energy right to the edge of the Swan River. At the heart of the quay, a sweeping pedestrian bridge gracefully arcs over the water, offering panoramic views of the river city skyline and Kings Park beyond. The quay is alive with energy. Cafes and restaurants line the waterfront, providing plenty of spots to enjoy a meal or drink with a view. There are eye-catching public art installations, including the towering Spander sculpture, a spiralling sculpture symbolising the connection between land, water and sky. Parents will be relieved to see the BHP Water Park nearby, a playful splash zone with water features to keep your kids entertained while you sweat nearby. Or you could get in. All the adults do. From here, we can catch a quick cruise on the Swan River, or if you're up for it, rent a bike to explore the city on two wheels. Just have a good old wander. Next, let's dive into Perth's cultural side with a visit to the Perth Cultural Centre. Located in Northbridge, this area is home to the Art Gallery of WA, Western Australian Museum Bulabartup, and some great spots for lunch. My recommendation, grab a bite at one of Northbridge's trendy spots, maybe a plate of dumplings at Bam Bam Boo or a hearty sandwich at Miller & Baker. Now, let's take the rest of the day off to enjoy the city. We're getting up early for a quest to find the happiest animals in Australia. Today, we're leaving the mainland and heading to Rottnest Island. Just a short ferry ride from Fremantle, Rottnest has wonderful beaches. But that's not why hundreds of thousands of visitors flock to the island every year. The reason for that is the subject of this episode's creature feature, the quokka. Quokkas are incredibly social, curious creatures. They've adapted to life around people here on Rottnest, and they're pretty fearless. Always ready for a selfie or just a bit of attention. But Rottnest Island's efforts to protect them mean no touching, feeding or close contact. But don't worry, they're photogenic enough from any angle, and they are likely to hop right up to say hello. It is vital that you get a selfie with a quokka. Your Instagram account will love you for it. It's also, incidentally, the best dating app picture you can take. Tigers are for bros, snakes are for weirdos, dogs are great, but a quokka is a conversation starter. Beyond the adorable little marsupials, Rottnest is a fascinating place to explore on its own merits. Let's go to Ranger Kane for some game ranger knowledge bombs.
Wadjimup, or that's the Noongar name for Rottnest, is a really significant cultural and spiritual place for Noongar people in particular. But it also has a strong and important significance for Aboriginal people across the state. And it's a really beautiful part of Western Australia. It's quite unique in terms of the natural environment, both terrestrial and marine. And it's a really good compact representation of some of the habitats you might see in the southwest of Western Australia. You can see wildlife all year round on Rottnest, but specifically the best time would be between mid-September through to November. That coincides with one of the six Noongar seasons called Kambarang, and it's a time when we get a lot of young emerging in a lot of different species. The humpback whale migration comes down from the Kimberley coast, so it's a really good time. Even when you're just coming over on the ferry, you quite often will see whales breaching, and it's a really good opportunity to see some of that marine wildlife. A lot of wildflowers and vegetation is really coming to life at that time of year. Particularly beautiful wildflower we get here is called the Rottnest Island Daisy. And it blooms on the island for about 2 to 3 weeks of the year, and mainly in November. That's really beautiful, big blanket of blue flowers around different parts of the coastline there. It's really stunning. There's 63 pristine bays and beaches on Rottnest. We have a lot of recreational activities in terms of fishing, surfing, diving. It really is a unique playground that's really easily accessible. There's a lot of history also on Rottnest, going right back from Aboriginal habitation 30,000 years ago. We have a lot of buildings and sites here that are quite significant from a historical point of view. Some of the colonial and maritime history, as well as World War I, World War II. Yeah, all of that is evident on Rottnest.
Rottnest Island is car-free, so rent a bike and go wandering from beach to beach and path to path. Stop for lunch at one of the island cafes, do some incredible snorkeling in Salmon Bay, or catch some sun while piloting a kayak or a paddleboard. At the end of the day, jump on a ferry back to Perth, climb into bed, and go to sleep, thinking about the quokka's toothy little grin. On our last day, we're hitting the road for a day trip adventure. First up, the Pinnacles Desert in Nambung National Park, about 2 hours north of Perth. Here, thousands of limestone pillars rise from golden sands, creating a surreal and almost eerie terrain that stretches as far as the eye can see. The pinnacles themselves come in all shapes and sizes, some taller and slender, others wide and craggy, each worn by time and the elements into unique jagged forms, like the members of the Rolling Stones. They seem to emerge mysteriously from the desert floor, casting long, dramatic shadows as the sun moves across the sky, unlike members of the Rolling Stones. Visiting the Pinnacles feels like stepping into an ancient world untouched and timeless. The desert is quiet, with only the soft sound of the wind sweeping across the sands and the occasional call of a bird. In the morning, the formations glow softly under the gentle light, but at sunset, the entire landscape transforms as the Pinnacles shift from golden to fiery orange, creating a stark contrast against the deepening blue of the evening sky. One of the best ways to take it all in is on the Pinnacles Desert Sunset Dinner and Stargazing Tour. The tour has three stops, including the Lancelin Sand Dunes, where you can sandboard down big piles of sand with the same name as that movie with Zendaya in it. The one where she mostly just turns around in slow motion. After that, you'll either head to Nilgen Lookout, a nature reserve which explodes with wildflowers during spring, or you'll visit Hangover Bay if the flowers aren't about. In Hangover Bay, you'll learn about bush tucker and medicine, but in a fun way, no tests. And then, as the sun sets, it's time for the main event. A barbecue dinner with wine, followed by stargazing with telescopes and astro binoculars. By night, the Pinnacles Desert becomes a stargazer's paradise. With minimal light pollution, the stars blaze brightly overhead, giving visitors a breathtaking view of the Milky Way. Now, as you're taken back to Perth in the gently rocking van, let's consider all the things I didn't have time to cover in the episode. Head over to Fremantle, Perth's charming sister suburb. With its gold rush and convict-era heritage buildings, Fremantle becomes the perfect weekend hangout spot, buzzing with history and local energy. Head east for a couple of hours, and you'll bump into Wave Rock, which is a rock, but in the shape of a really huge wave, like really big. And there's even more. Here's Qantas flight attendant Edie Hallworth with some personal recommendations.
One of my favourite things to do in Perth when visiting is go to Scarborough Beach. Beautiful markets, beautiful white sandy beaches. Another thing I like to do is go to the Western Australian Art Gallery. A must do, and it's free.
I'm Grant Stevens. Thanks for spending time with me on this episode of How Far Will You Travel Australia? If you've enjoyed yourself, why not leave us a review? Or tell your mates about it. Or both. Thanks also to Qantas for sponsoring this episode. We've tried to make sure all of the facts and figures in this episode are correct, but we're only human, so please excuse any errors. We've put links in the show notes, and you can even get more info on our interactive map that you'll find at howfarwillyoutravel.com. If you want to see what we're up to on the socials, you can find us on Facebook at How Far Will You Travel and on Instagram at HFWYT Podcast. The series director and sound designer is Spike Ballantyne. Michelle Macklem is our producer and Jonathan Varankar is our writer. How Far Will You Travel is a DBO Media production. No quokkas were left unphotographed in the making of this episode.